الحمد لله الحمد لله وحده والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده أما بعد Our beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says من زار قبري وجبت له شفاعتي. Whosoever visits my grave, for him my intercession becomes incumbent. I would most definitely intercede on his behalf. In another hadith, Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, the one who visits my grave after my demise, after I have departed from this world, whosoever comes to Madinatul Munawwara and visits my grave after my demise, it is as though he has visited me in my lifetime. And further, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, that whosoever passes away in either of the harams, either in Makkatul Mukarrama or Madinatul Munawwara, and he is buried there, بُعِثَ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ مِنَ الْآمِنِينَ, he shall be raised on the day of judgment from those who would be safeguarded from the horrors of the day of judgment. In another hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam says, whosoever performs hajj and after completing his hajj he travels to Madinatul Munawwara to visit me, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant him the reward of two accepted hajj. So it is because of these ahadith and similar ahadith that the ulama of the ummah have decreed that the visit of Madinatul Munawwara and especially visiting the masjid of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and above that visiting the tomb or the resting place of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this is such an action which is regarded from the most important ibadat, and it is such a devotion that it is regarded from those actions which will bring one nearer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and which would be a means of acquiring the closeness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi alayhi, Imam Malik rahmatullahi alayhi, Imam Shafi'i rahmatullahi alayhi, Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal rahmatullahi alayhi, these four are regarded as the great fuqaha and jurists and imams of the ummah. And all four say to visit Madinatul Munawwara with the intention of visiting the grave of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that is mustahab, preferable. So whosoever travels prior to Hajj to Madinatul Munawwara or travels to Madinatul Munawwara after Hajj, So he should intend that he is going to visit Madinatul Munawwara, the city of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his masjid, and also going to visit the grave of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This should be his intention. Haji Imdadullah Muhajir Makki rahmatullahi alayh, in his presence some ulama were conversing that a person who is traveling to Madinatul Munawwara, should he intend and make the intention of visiting the masjid of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, or should he also make the intention of also visiting the grave of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Some ulama, their opinion was that one should only intend that he is going to visit the masjid of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And another group, they were saying that no, one should intend that you're going to visit the masjid as well as the tomb and the grave of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So when Haji Imdadullah rahmatullah alayh, he came to know of this conversation, he mentioned to the ulama that were there that Masjid al-Nabawi, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's masjid, why does it hold significance and why does it hold so much importance? So they said it is because of the presence of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that he is there. So Haji Imdadullah rahmatullah alayhi, he said that this is something, what amazing, that the masjid, the person because of whom the masjid has been given that importance, you don't intend him when you go to visit the masjid. So the masjid, it has been given reverence and respect because of the presence of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So this proves that most definitely you should make the intention of visiting the grave of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam at the same time. So one should make this intention when he goes to visit Madinatul Munawwara, that he's going to visit the masjid of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam as well as the grave and the tomb of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And this from among those deeds which would make a person achieve a lot of reward in the hereafter. And obviously, visiting the masjid of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam or his grave, this is not part of Hajj. Hajj was already discussed, and the 5 days of Hajj we have already covered. But because a person travels all the way to Makkatul Mukarrama, and he is very close to Madinatul Munawwara, you would not find anyone in history who would have traveled for Umrah or Hajj all the way to Makkatul Mukarrama, and thereafter did not travel to Madinatul Munawwara and did not visit the masjid of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, or did not visit the tomb of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Because each and every believer, he has the love of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in his heart to an extent. Because without the love of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, a person can never be a complete believer. Rather, if a person does not have love for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in his heart, he is not worthy of being called a believer. It is said in Urdu, Muhammad ki muhabbat deen haq ki shart awwal hai, that the love for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is the first condition of this righteous and rightful religion. Usime ho khami to sab kuch na mukammal hai. If there is any deficiency in the love for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then everything is incomplete, everything is defect. If salah is good, if zakah is good, fasting is good, but apart from having love for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, all of these things are incomplete. Hazrat Maulana Muhammad Ahmad Pratap Gari rahmatullahi alayh, he's from our pious predecessors. There are two poems that he says. Aap hi hai maksood hamare, dil ke ujale, aankh ke tare. Aap pe meri jaan hai kurban, aap hai mujhko jaan se pyare. That you are more beloved to me than my own life. نبی کی عزت و حرمت پر مرنا عین ایمان ہے. سر مقتل پہ ان کا ذکر کرنا عین ایمان ہے. دراہتا ہے امیں دار و نصر سے اے نادا, نبی کی عشق میں سولی پر چرنا عین ایمان ہے. That to give one's life for the sake of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that in itself is a true sign of love for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and that is what deen and religion demands. So may Allah grant us all the greatest love for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Another poet says that to give one life for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that is nothing. One should sacrifice this world as well as the hereafter for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So each and every believer has love for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in his heart. And it is this love that takes every believer to Madinatul Munawwara. And when people travel to Makkatul Mukarrama, any believer, when he comes to know that people have traveled to Makkatul Mukarrama, Madinatul Munawwara for Hajj, then every believer, he has this yearning that if only I was able to also travel to these blessed lands. Another poet says that, oh, the morning breeze, go slowly and give this message of mine to Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that when everyone goes to Madinatul Munawwara, I have this yearning in my heart that if only I could also travel and reach Madinatul Munawwara. So to travel to Madinatul Munawwara, to travel to the masjid of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, visit his grave, it is only because of love for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So when a person has love for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then everything that is associated to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we would have love for. So therefore we should have love for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and everything that is associated to him, we should have love for that. Makkatul Mukarrama, that's got some attachment to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we should have love for that, because that is where he was born, that is where he was raised, that is where he was given prophethood by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We should have love for Madinatul Munawwara because that is the place where he migrated to, and that is the place where he is resting. We should have love for the Masjid al-Nabawi, the Masjid of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because that is where he is resting. We should have love for Jannatul Baqi, the graveyard of Madinatul Munawwara, because the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they are buried there. His wives are buried there. His children are buried there. We should have love for the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Azwaji Mutahharat, his beloved wives. We should have love for Hazrat Abu Bakr, Umar, Uthman, Ali, Bilal radiallahu ta'ala anhum ajma'een. We should have love for the Quran. We should have love for his religion. We should have love for each and every sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We should have love for each and every particle and dust of the city of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Maulana Qasim Nanutwi rahmatullahi alayhi, the founder of Darul Ulum Deoband, he has said a amazing qasida, qasida Qasimiyya, wherein he has praised the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Each and every couplet of this poem, one can see the love that he has for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. In his poetry, he says, that I be given the opportunity to live in the city of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and it is my desire that if I stay alive, that I the least that I be given is the opportunity to stay with the dogs of Madinatul Munawwara, let alone be respected and be given an honorable status in Madinatul Munawwara. At least that I be given a space among the dogs of Madinatul Munawwara, that is a great honor in itself. And if I die, then the worms and the insects of the ground of Madinatul Munawwara, they eat me. So that on the Day of Judgment, I can also say that I became the nourishment and the food for the insects and the worms of the city of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And then he says that I've got a lot of hopes, but the greatest hope that I have, that I be at least be counted from among the dogs of Madinatul Munawwara. This is out of humbleness and love for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam city. He is saying this. Maulana Hussain Ahmad Madni rahmatullah alayhi, he would say, Jannat tujhme hur qusur rehte hain, maine mana zarur rehte hain, a mere dil ka tawaf kar, mere dil mein huzur rehte hain. That in Jannah there is hur and there are palaces, but come and visit my heart. In my heart I've got the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's love. So all these pious people, this was the love that they had for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So this is what we should have embedded in our hearts as well, that anything that is associated to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam should have love for. So our pious predecessors, because they had so much love for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and because of this excessive love, they would always make mention of the name of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And in their lives you would see the qualities of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and they would always send salutations, durood upon the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and each and every second will be spent in following the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Naam unka jahan bhi liya jayega, zikr unka jahan bhi kiya jayega, noor hi noor seeno mein bhar jayega, sari mahfil mein jalwe tapak jayenge. Wherever the name of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is mentioned, you would always see mercy and blessings descending upon that gathering. So this is a great honor that Allah gives to those people who perform Hajj or travel to Umrah to go and visit the Masjid of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So we should intend visiting the city, visiting the Masjid of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as well as visiting his tomb and the grave of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now if we travel directly from here to Madinatul Munawwara before going to Makkatul Mukarrama, or you have visited Makkatul Mukarrama and thereafter after Hajj you are traveling to Madinatul Munawwara, so everyone is given this advice that we should create the love of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in our hearts, and the love that we have, we should increase that when it comes traveling to Madinatul Munawwara, and with full zeal and enthusiasm make one's way towards the city of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Abstain from all futility, abstain from worldly matters, and have one's attention motivated towards Allah and His beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And in order to create that zeal and enthusiasm, it is best that we take along with us a book on the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, on the seerah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And prior to our journey, begin reading that book, read ourselves, do ta'leem of it, and read it to others around us. If we can say some couplets in praise of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, say them. This would create more love for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and it would enliven the heart with the love of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So make mention of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam excessively. So this is the first thing that we need to do en route to Madinatul Munawwara. And Hazrat Maulana Muhammad Zakariya Nawwarallahu Marqaduhu's book, Fadaili Hajj, Virtues of Hajj, which Sheikh has already mentioned, in there is a chapter on visiting the city of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So read that as well. Read it individually, read it to others with us. So read books on the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and say poetry on the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This will create love for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This would enliven our love. And the second thing we need to do, that each and every sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we should be very particular of and practice. Not a single sunnah, not a single deed and act should be against the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. In our clothing, in our eating, in our daily life, try and do everything according to the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So en route as well as in Madinatul Munawwara, and make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that, oh Allah, just as in this journey ye granted me the ability to act upon the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, my entire life you make it such that I spend it in practicing to the Prophet, practicing the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It is said in Urdu, naqsh kadam nabi ke hai jannat ke raaste, Allah se milate hai sunnat ke raaste. That's following in the footsteps of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That is the path to Jannah, and that is the path that would make us reach Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Another poet says, teri mi'raj ke tulohe kalam tak pahuncha, meri mi'raj ke mein tere kadmo tak pahuncha. That your mi'raj was that you went to the tablet, the lohe mahfooz, and the pen which writes down the taqdeer. And my mi'raj is that I reached your footsteps and I followed in your footsteps. And Shaykh is saying that in his heart, the love that he has for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, through that he is mentioning to everyone that is listening that when we go to visit the grave of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we should go in such clothing and our facial image should be such that it confirms the teaching of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, through which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is not grieved. It is said that during the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the leader of Iran, he sent a delegation to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in Madinatul Munawwara. So when this delegation reached Madinatul Munawwara, when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam saw them, he noticed that they did not have beards. They had long mustaches and they had shaven their beards. So Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to them, when he looked at them, he asked, he first of all turned his face away, because this really grieved him, displeased him, that he did not even look at them, and he turned his face away, because it was the sunnah and practice of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that he would always converse with eye contact, because that was the practice of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that was his good conduct. Whether the person was a Muslim or a non-Muslim, that is how he would converse with them. But when these people came having shaven their beards, he turned his face away and he asked them that, who commanded you to do this? So they said, our Lord, meaning our King. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that, my Lord, my Creator, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He has commanded me that I trim my moustache and I keep my beard. So in the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we never find the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam saying that keep beard. We find him saying that lengthen the beard, keep it long. So the companions radiallahu ta'ala anhum would say that the beard of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would reach the chest of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would, in Zuhr and Asr Salah, recite in Salah silently. Someone asked that, how would you know that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would recite silently? So the companions, they remarked that his beard would move. So from the side we could notice that he is moving his lips. So that could only be possible if the beard was long. If it was short, it wouldn't move. So it is the sunnah of all the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam to keep a beard. It has been the practice and the way of each and every Anbiya. Approximately 124,000 Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam. Harun alayhi salatu wasalam, when Musa alayhi salatu wasalam became displeased with him, so with one hand he held him by the head and with the other hand he held his beard. So Harun alayhi salatu wasalam said to Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, لا تأخذ بلحيتي ولا برأسي, that do not hold me by my head and by my beard. So if beard was short, how would have Musa alayhi salatu wasalam held the beard of Harun alayhi salatu wasalam? So this shows and proves that his beard was long, and that is why he held it. So each and every imam, the four imams, the four fuqaha, none of them dispute with regards to the length of the beard. All of them say that the beard should be one fist length. So if one wants to trim the beard, it has to be one fist length. Only then can you trim it from below, from the sides. If it's shorter than that, you can't trim it. And this beard, what we commonly hear that it is sunnah, it does not mean that it is sunnah that we have a choice to keep it or not. It is wajib. It is wajib, it is necessary, it is incumbent. So just as when we're traveling, when we perform the salah half, two rakat of dhuhr, the sunnah is pardon. If you don't perform it, we're not held responsible. But the Isha salah together with it, we have to perform the three rakat wajib because it is necessary. Similarly is the case with the beard. Sheikh is saying that when he passed away, from our clothing and everything, nothing's going to accompany us. The only thing that will accompany us and be with us will be our beard. And in our grave, when the image and the picture of the Prophet ﷺ shall be shown to us, if our physical feature is different to that of the Prophet ﷺ, how would we recognize him? How would we be able to say that it's our Prophet ﷺ? So if our beard is shaven or it is trimmed, with what face will we face the Prophet ﷺ on the Day of Judgment? So Shaykh is mentioning that Allah has given us the honor to perform Hajj. So every person should make this resolution, that person who has not kept a beard, he makes this firm resolution that he's going to keep a beard. And the person who has kept a beard but he trims it from here and there, he should make this resolution that he's going to keep the proper beard, which is the practice of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And we should never fall in this misconception that by me keeping a beard, my beauty is going to be decreased. Because if that was the case, then the Prophet ﷺ, who was the greatest creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he would never have commanded him to keep a beard. Hazrat Qari Muhammad rahmatullahi alayh, he would say that, O servants of Allah, the blessed Prophet ﷺ, blessed Sunnah, beautify your face with that blessed Sunnah, because through that your face will also become blessed and full of barakah. Shaykh is saying that na'udhu billah, when we talk upon this topic, it is not to degrade and disgrace someone. So Shaykh is saying that when we discuss this topic, the person who may not have a beard or trim his beard, we are not saying this to degrade and disgrace them. Because someone could have a beard, another person may not have a beard, but it is possible that the one that does not have a beard, his intentions innerly inside may be much more better than the person with a beard. So this is not mentioned in order to degrade and disgrace someone. This is only discussed because anything that is harmful for people, it is our responsibility to mention that and direct one towards what is beneficial to each and every person. So if the Shaykh's heart is saying from inside that if people go to the tomb of the Prophet ﷺ without a beard or having trimmed a beard, then this would be a means of depriving them. So if the heart is saying that, it would be deception that Shaykh does not mention that and guide you that this is what you should do. So Shaykh is saying that every year in the gathering when Shaykh discusses this, brothers, they make an intention and they also act upon it, and they make this resolution from today that we are going to do this from today, and we have to keep that throughout our lifetime, so that when we depart from this world, we are given honor and rewarded by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the first thing we need to do is create that zeal and enthusiasm for meeting the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and visiting his grave. So in order to do that, read a book on the seerah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and thereafter practice each and every sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. make dua to Allah that He makes our life in complete accordance with Sunnah, and abstain from each and every sin, because the greatest height of Sunnah is to abstain from each and every sin. And another thing, that in this journey we should at least send something as reward on behalf of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Suratul Ikhlas, Kalimah Tayyibah, recite that and send it as reward to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So by doing this, because we are on our way to Madinatul Munawwara, before we reach there, whatever isal thawab we've done, whatever reward we have passed forward on behalf of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Allah would have informed the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that such and such a follower of yours, he has sent this recitation, this remembrance as a reward on your behalf. So Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would have already been informed about our doing this. So imagine if we meet him in that state then. Similarly, excessively send durood upon the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. And thereafter any other phrases and formulas of durood, what we remember we can say. اللهم صل على محمد كما تحب وترضى وصلى الله عليه وسلم وصلى الله على النبي الأمي. So this is how we should undertake this journey to Madinatul Munawwara. Now with regards to sending salutations and durood upon the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and sending something as reward, if we on our journey make this intention that I'm going to do this, then what would happen is we would do this for a few minutes, for 15 minutes, half an hour, and thereafter we would engage in our normal conversation and not be able to excessively send durood and salutations or excessively send reward to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So the best way of excessively doing this is to fix an amount that I am going to basically send this much reward on behalf of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. For example, I'm going to recite one juz of the Quran, I'm going to send salutations 1,000 times. Haji Farooq Sahib rahmatullahi alayhi would say that en route to Madinatul Munawwara, you should send at least 1,000 times recitation of Inna A'tayna Kal Kawthar as a reward for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So the benefit of that would be that you would basically bind yourself with a limit and you would then try to fulfill that. But if you just have it in mind, I'm going to do as much as possible, you may only end up doing 100, only 200. So fix 500, 700, 1,000. So doing this, we would make our way to Madinatul Munawwara. And as soon as we reach close to Madinatul Munawwara and the buildings of Madinatul Munawwara become clear and are in front of us, our zeal should increase of entry into the city of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And as we enter, the zeal should increase. And our inclination should be towards the masjid of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And as soon as we see that, the zeal should increase. And as soon as our eyes fall upon the green dome, the zeal should increase all the more. And this thought should be in our mind that under this dome, that being is resting. That no one has been created that can match this being of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It is said in Urdu, Khake, Paake Athar, Arshe, Bari Taala Se Aziz, that the soil that touches the coffin and the shrouding of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that soil is more better than the throne of Allah, more virtuous than the throne of Allah. So if that soil which is touching just the shrouding and the kafan of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is more virtuous, then imagine the kafan, what virtue would that hold? And imagine the being on whom that kafan is touching, what status he holds in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that is our belief. So excessively send durood, salutations upon the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And it should have happened that as soon as we see the city of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his masjid, we should have dismounted from our conveyance, from our vehicles. Mawlana Qasim Nanutwi rahmatullahi alayhi, when he reached Madinatul Munawwara and the house of Madinatul Munawwara became clear to him, so he got off his mount and he began walking without any slippers on, because he became intoxicated due to the love of the city of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, that he began walking on thorny stones which pricked his legs and his feet, which began to bleed, but he did not even realize that he is bleeding and he is harming himself. And these pious people, they would have so much love that they would not comprehend wearing slippers or footwear because of this fear that their footwear would fall upon that place where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has placed his feet. So they would see it as disrespect. That is why they would go barefooted. But obviously we don't have that zeal, we don't have that enthusiasm that these people had in the past. So when we enter, we should have full motivation and dedication towards the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his masjid. Now, to send salat, salutations and salam upon the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you can either do that immediately upon your arrival in Madinatul Munawwara, or you could do that after resting. So if you decide to do it later on, one should be very careful that he does not miss a single salah with jama'ah in Masjid al-Nabawi. Because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that salah in my masjid, one salah is better than 1,000 salah. And in another hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that a person who performs 40 salah in my masjid in a way that he does not miss a single salah, that Allah, he frees him from hypocrisy and from the fire of hell. But at the same time, Shaykh is saying that because of 40 salah in Masjid al-Nabawi, you can't delay our journey of Hajj. So if someone is not getting 40 salah in Medina, and that is why he is not going for Hajj, because his workplace does not allow him to take that much time off work, he can't omit his Hajj. So whether he does not perform 40 salah in Masjid al-Nabawi because that is not part of a Hajj, that doesn't matter. He should still go for Hajj, because Hajj will be compulsory. So how many, whatever amount of salah we can perform in Masjid al-Nabawi, we should perform that. But with regards to females, because performance of salah for them is more preferable in their homes, whether in England, whether in Pakistan, India, wherever they are, whether in Makkatul Mukarrama or Madinatul Munawwara, it is more virtuous for them to perform salah in their homes. She is permitted to come to the masjid, but if she comes, the reward is less. So a female is given more reward by performing salah at home. And that was the desire of Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to this female companion, who said to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that I wish to perform salah behind you in Masjid al-Nabawi. So because this was the best of times, best of eras, they would be very particular with regards to parda. So Shaykh is saying that today people say that we should give permission for females to come to masjid. So we say this as well, that if the same atmosphere was created that was created at the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then there is no problem in females coming to the masjid. But create that atmosphere first. So we don't create that atmosphere. So she remarked that I want to perform salah behind you at Masjid al-Nabawi. So behind the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in his masjid. So what did the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam say? Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, for you to perform salah, in the masjid of your own locality, that is better than performing salah in my masjid. So masjid which is closer to your home rather than Masjid al-Nabawi is better. And thereafter he said that for you to perform salah in the courtyard of your house is better than performing salah in the masjid of your locality. And thereafter he further said that for you to perform salah in the front room of your house is better than for you to perform salah in the courtyard. And for you to perform salah in the back room of your house, that is more better than you to perform salah in the front room of your house. And in your back room, if there is a storeroom, for you to perform salah in that storeroom is better than to perform salah in the room that is at the back. So all these rooms are all the more concealed. So the more concealed the room is, the better the salah of a female. So Shaykh is saying that females who wish to perform salah in the masjid, or even in Masjid al-Nabawi or Masjid al-Haram, so why is it that females would want to come and perform salah, whereas it is more virtuous for them to perform salah in the rooms or in the house? So they would get the same reward as males would get in performing salah in congregation in the masjid. So what is the reason behind them wanting to come out? So if a female was to perform 40 salah in the room of a hotel, she would get that same reward that has been mentioned. And if a female is in the state of impurity, if at the time of salah she was to perform wudu and sit on the musalla facing the qibla and engage in sending durood and salutations upon the Prophet ﷺ in the remembrance of Allah, even then she would get the same reward. At the same time, Shaykh is saying that obviously if females want to visit the masjid of the Prophet ﷺ and perform salah there, the males should not stop them. Although it is more virtuous for them to perform salah in their rooms, but if they want to, due to some desire of their own or zeal of wanting to go into the masjid of the Prophet ﷺ, the males should not argue with them and stop them. But obviously, when there is a lot of rush and a lot of crowd, then it is best for females to basically perform salah in their homes and in their rooms. Because due to excessive crowd, they would be a means of drawing attention of males towards them. And that is something which is impermissible. Shaykh is saying that whatever we do with regards to deen and sharia, we should do it according to what would be pleasing to Allah and His beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Not what we like to do and what we find good and what we like. So not a single salah should be missed in Madinatul Munawwara from the congregation. So now when we've decided that this is the time that I need to go and do salat and salam, so whatever is going to be mentioned now, nothing is wajib or compulsory. Everything is mustahab and preferable. So therefore, whilst doing all these things, one should make sure that he does not harm any Muslim. Because harming a Muslim, that is haram, impermissible. So those brothers and those family members that have already travelled to Madinatul Munawwara, they would inform you when there is no rush or when there is a time for the females to go. So upon reaching Madinatul Munawwara, if salah is close to begin, then we should basically perform salah. And if we've reached and there's still time for salah, then we should basically take a bath, perform ghusl in a manner that we would do on the day of Eid, cleanse ourselves properly, wear our best clothing, put on perfume. The females would also do that they would clean themselves, wear their best clothing, and with excessive durood upon the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, make one's way towards Masjid al-Nabawi. Focus should be totally towards the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his masjid, his grave. And this thought should be in our mind that I'm very filthy and ask for forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That, oh Allah, I'm very wretched, I'm very disobedient. So prior to me reaching the tomb of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, forgive me. And if you come across a poor person en route to the masjid, then give them some sadaqah, give them some charity, because they are residents of the city of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Thereafter, when you enter the masjid, enter with the right foot and enter with this dua, which is a sunnah method. So this is how you should enter every masjid. Bismillah wa salatu wa salamu ala rasulillah. Allahumma kfir li dhunubi waftah li abwaba rahmatik. And thereafter make this intention that, oh Allah, as long as I am in the masjid, I am in itikaf. So you would enter the masjid. So if it is time for salah, you would obviously perform salah. And if it is not time for salah, and it is not makruh time, dislike time, then perform 2 rakat tahiyatul masjid. So these 2 rakats of tahiyatul masjid can be performed anywhere in the masjid. But if it is possible to perform these 2 rakat in rawdatun min riyadil jannah, from the gardens of paradise, the garden that is in Medina, in Masjid al-Nabawi, between the resting place of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his minbar, which is carpeted with green carpet, Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam bayti wa minbari rawdatun min riyadil jannah, that the portion between the minbar and my house, that is a garden from the gardens of paradise. So there is green carpet there. So try and perform salah there. So this being a garden from the gardens of paradise, different interpretations have been given, but one interpretation is that this portion, when Allah will destroy this world, it will be taken into the heavens, and this portion will be in heaven, in Jannah. And another meaning is that the person who performs worship in this portion, Allah will grant him Jannah. And another interpretation is that this portion is from Jannah. It has been taken from Jannah and brought into this world. That it is Jannah. So this is the most virtuous place in the masjid of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, after the place where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is resting. So you would move your way towards the Qibla until you reach the minbar. When you would see the minbar, the pulpit, on the left hand side, you would see towards the wall that there is wired mesh. That is where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is resting. And from the minbar to that area, that is the rawdah. Rawdatun min riyadil jannah. So in the entire masjid, there would be red colored carpet. But in the garden of paradise, the carpet would be green. So if once you reach there, if salah is not about to begin, and it is not makruh time, you perform 2 rakat tahiyatul masjid in that spot, in that place. And thereafter perform 2 rakat salat al-shukr, salat of thanks that Allah gave you the opportunity to perform hajj, or come to the city of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, to visit the grave of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And thereafter raise your hands and make dua. If a person cannot reach the rawdah, the garden of paradise, then he can do this anywhere in the masjid. And as for females, because there are fixed times for them to come into the masjid or to say salatu salam, they may do this anywhere in the masjid. Because for them, the rawdah, the place which is the garden of paradise, is not open every time. Fixed times, it's open for them. So thereafter you would make dua, ask for all your permissible needs of this world as well as the hereafter. The first thing you should ask is Allah, that, oh Allah, I have performed my hajj umrah, so accept that. Or I am going to perform it, accept that. Accept my ziyarah. The etiquette adab that I need to adopt, you make me fulfill them. Oh Allah, as long as I am here, you give me the tawfiq to do all those things that pleases you. And at the same time say to Allah that, oh Allah, I am in the garden of paradise, if you have reached there. And if you have not reached there, due to crowd, because during the hajj, there is a lot of restriction. So it is cordoned off certain times. So one should not become displeased with the people that are responsible for monitoring the crowd. So when you get the opportunity of being in the garden of paradise, we should pray to Allah that, oh Allah, you have brought me into the garden of paradise. And in the Quran, where you mention about paradise, you promise that whenever you give them entry into paradise, you never take them out of paradise. So Allah, you have brought me to the portion which is the garden of paradise. So now don't ever take me out of this and keep me in paradise. And make me do those deeds which does not deprive me of Jannah. Give me the ability to act upon every command of yours. And obviously the decoration that is there in the masjid, one should not have his attention towards that. He should have his attention towards Allah and his beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And then after we would make our way forward to say salatu salam. So Shaykh is saying that just as he mentioned when he was explaining the journey to Makkah al-Mukarramah, that the first sight of the Kaaba and the dua that we make, it is not necessary to do the tawaf immediately. Similarly here as well, when we enter the masjid and we perform these two rakats and we thank Allah and we perform these salam, make dua, it is not necessary to do salat salam immediately. We can go later on as well. So to locate the resting place of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is that we would make our way towards the Qibla. And as soon as we walk, we will come across the front wall. And when we reach there, on the left hand side of the Qibla, that is where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is resting. So all the crowd will be going towards that way. So we should also make our way towards that side and keep our gazes low, excessively send durood upon the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, repent to Allah. At the same time, this feeling that I am not worthy of this opportunity, yet Allah has brought me here. That I am so wretched that I am not deserving of being in front of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's grave. A poet says that it's only the honor and grace of Allah that He has brought me here. And to die and become the soil of Medina, that is in actual fact the living. Another poet says that we would travel to Medina to Munawwara on purpose, we would become lost. We would never come back. And people would try to find us, but they would not find us, because we'd rather stay in Medina to Munawwara. So may Allah grant us all death in Medina to Munawwara. So we would make our way towards the Qibla, and when we reach the end, we would see that people are making their way towards the left hand side. So one should join the crowd going towards that area. So on the right hand side would be the Qibla, and left hand side would be the Rawda, the resting place of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So excessive durood should be on our tongues. This feeling that I am not worthy of being here, and this feeling, if this feeling overcomes us, that I am so filthy, how can I go to the grave and the tomb of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? So Shaykh is saying that one should try to overcome this feeling with this fact and reality that a small child that has dirtied his clothing, messed his clothing, knows that the only person that can clean me is my mother. And she may also slap me, that why did you dirty your clothes? But the child would not run away from the mother, still go there. So this is the feeling that I don't want to go, but there is no other way that I can behave. So Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is rahmatul lil alameen, the mercy of the entire universe. So with this reality embedded in our hearts and mind, we should make our way to the grave of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So Shaykh is saying that we should not go there just as a routine that everyone goes, and we should try to create this spirituality and feeling. Shaykh is saying, in this day and age, some pious person that we really revere, if you were to see him, then we will be very particular with regards to our behavior in front of him, that he's so pious, religious, how can I behave in this way? How can I disrespect him in any way? So imagine the greatest pious person, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. What should our feeling be in front of him? So we should go with this thought that this is this being regarding whom the companions of the Prophet would say, "Kana Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam ahsan an-nas," that he was the most beautiful of people. The Shama'il of Hazrat Shaykh Maulana Muhammad Zakariya Nawwarullah Markaduhu, you should read that and try to visualize the qualities that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned in there, of his facial image, his hair, how his features were, his beautiful face, his long hair, more beautiful than the sun, the moon. A poet says that it is just, is it justice to give the resemblance of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to the moon? That is not justice. Why? He says, "Chan se tashbih dena bhi insaf hai, chan mein hai jhaiya, aur huzur ka chehra saaf hai." That when you look at the 14th night moon, it looks very clear and very shiny, but when you look carefully, you can see craters in there. It is not clear. So this is what the poet is saying, that it is justice to give the resemblance of the face of Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam with the moon. So chan mein hai jhaiya, there are craters in the moon, or Hazrat ka chehra saaf hai, and the face of the Prophet is completely clear and without any blemishes. A companion was asked with regards to Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that was the face of Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam like a sword? That was it like a sword shining, because a sword shines. So the companion said that no, it was not like a sword, it was rather like the moon. Ka'b ibn Malik radiallahu ta'ala anhu would say, when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam would become happy, we would know that. How would we know that? Istanara wajhuhu, his face would become radiant. Ka'annahu kit'atu kamarin, as though it was a piece of the moon. It would shine like the piece of the moon. So the commentators of the hadith say that Ka'b ibn Malik, why did he say that his face was like a piece of the moon? Why didn't he say it was like the moon? So he said, the commentators say that because the moon has craters, if Ka'b ibn Malik said it was like the moon, then he would be saying that his face had blemishes or some faults. So he said it was like a piece of the moon, meaning that piece which does not have the crater, which is completely clear. That is how clear the face of the Prophet ﷺ was and radiant. Another companion says that the full moon of the 14th night was shining, and I went out for a need of mine, and my eyes fell upon the Prophet ﷺ. In the darkness of the night, he was sitting in the light of the moon, in the moonlit night. And as soon as I looked at the face of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, I looked at the moon, thereafter the face of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, at the moon again, at the face of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And I did not realize how the night was spent, and how the night passed. Another companion was asked that what was the features of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, how did he look? So he said, "Ya bunayya law ra'aytahu," that, "Oh my son, if you were to look at him, if you were to see him, if you were to see him coming, ra'ayta ash-shamsa tali'atan, it would be as though the sun is rising." So one should think and contemplate about all these things, and then see what enthusiasm, what zeal he gets in reciting the salat and salam upon the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Anas radiallahu ta'ala anhu would say, "Ma masistu dibajan wala hariran alyana min kaffi Rasulillahi sallallahu alaihi wasallam," that I have not touched silk more softer than the palm of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That I have touched satin silk, but the palm of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was much more softer. "Wala shamimtu miskan atyaba min rahiyati Rasulillahi sallallahu alaihi wasallam," that I have smelt musk throughout my life. I have smelt umber. But I have not smelt anything more sweeter than the fragrance of the perspiration of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he carried the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam on his shoulders during the night of Hijrah. So because the body of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was touching the body of Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu, because he carried him on his shoulders, so what a status Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu had. And the sacrifice that he made in this day and age to try and climb the Mount of Thor and the Cave of Thor in this day and age in daylight, one finds it difficult. But he did that at night time. So he told Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam he carried the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam on his shoulders, and the body of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam touched the body of Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu, and due to the heat, and the perspiration that came from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's body, Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu would say that as long as I lived, I could smell fragrance emitting from my shoulders because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's body touching me. So Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was the most beautiful of people. Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha would say, "Lana shamsun walis sama'i shamsu," that there is a sun in the heavens, in the skies, and we also have a sun. And then she would say that the sun of the heavens, of the skies, that comes to light and comes out when light has already spread in the earth. And my moon, my sun meaning the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, is such that it comes during the darkness. That in the darkness of my night, if I were to lose a pin in his presence, it would illuminate the whole room, that I would be able to find my pin that has fallen on the floor. And through the illumination of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the dark hearts are illuminated as well and guided towards righteousness. Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha further says that if the friends of Zulaikha, who due to seeing the beauty of Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam cut their fingers, if they were to see the beauty of my beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they would have cut their hearts. So Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was given so much beauty. That some pious saints, they say that Allah had put a veil upon the beauty of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That if that veil was not there, then people would have become insane seeing the beauty of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Dihya Kalbi radiallahu ta'ala anhu, it is said with regards to him that he was so beautiful that when he would go outside, he would have to cover his face with a veil. He would have to cover his face because there was a fear that if a woman saw his beauty, she would have fell in love with him. So he had to cover his face. So imagine if Dihya Kalbi, a companion, was so beautiful, then how beautiful was the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? So kana Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam ahsan al-nas, ajmal al-nas, ajwal al-nas, the most generous, the most beautiful. A'lam al-nas, the most knowledgeable, was our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Atqa al-nas, the most pious. Akhsha al-nas, the one who had the most khashiyah, the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah says, إِنَّكَ لَعَلَىٰ خُلُقٍ عَظِيمٍ, that you have the greatest character, the most intelligent, the one who had the most understanding and recognition of Allah, the greatest lover of Allah, the greatest beloved of Allah. So you're going to go in His presence in a few seconds. That is the thought that should be in our minds. At the same time, excessive durood, ask forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and in this manner move forward. And when we make our way, on the right hand side would be the Qibla, on the left hand side would be the tomb of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So Shaykh is saying that if we enter at a time when there is a lot of rush, so if you remain on the left hand side, more closer to the tomb of the Prophet ﷺ, you will not be able to remain standing there. You will have to quickly say salam and move on, say salam and move on. So when you're making your way towards the rawdah, towards the resting place of the Prophet ﷺ, you either go onto the right hand side. So there would be the wall of the Qibla, in between there will be pillars, and on the left hand side of the pillars, there would be the resting place of the Prophet's tomb. So if you are in between the pillars and the Prophet's resting place, that would be the fast track of moving fast and saying salam. And on the right hand side, close to the Qibla where the wall is, people are allowed to stand there. So when you keep moving and then you turn your back towards the Qibla and look in front of you, that is where you would see the wired mesh enclosure where the Prophet is resting. So there are three sets like this. So three sets of wired mesh enclosure colored in green and gold. So the first section, there is nothing there. In the second section, that is where the Prophet ﷺ, Hazrat Abu Bakr and Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhum are resting. And in the third section, there is nothing there as well. So one does not have to be exactly precise and accurate. One should not be peeping and looking, because obviously it is our aqeedah that the Prophet ﷺ is alive in his grave. He knows what is happening. So just as in front of me, if you were to misbehave in such a manner that you peep and you look awkwardly, the person would feel, what is this person doing? How is he, why is he behaving in this manner? Similarly, one should not behave like that in front of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So when you make your way towards the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's tomb, so when you would go past the first wired mesh enclosure and come to the second set, the pillar that would be there, opposite that would be the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's resting place. So one should not be looking here and there, and with full concentration, motivation, have this in mind that I am standing in front of the greatest creation of Allah. So after Allah, the greatest is our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Allama Iqbal would say, Iqbal, main kis muh se karu madh Muhammad, muh mera chota hai aur baat bahut bari hai, that with what tongue can I praise the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? My tongue and my mouth is very small and the words are very big. I can't fulfill the right of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And standing with this reality embedded in our hearts and mind that I am in front of the greatest being, the greatest of all Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam, rahmatul lil alameen, more merciful than one's mother, and mercies are descending at this moment in time. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam is listening to my salam. He is replied to my salam. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam has said that whosoever comes to my tomb and says salam to me, I myself listen and I give a reply to his salam. So the companions, they asked, O Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you would be buried in your grave, you would have become disintegrated. So how would you be able to reply? So Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Inna Allah harrama al ardi an ta'kul ajsad al anbiya. Allah has made it haram upon the earth to devour and eat the body of the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam. So every Nabi is alive in his grave. So Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam is also alive in his grave. So a Nabi is given his sustenance in the grave. And when my ummati comes in front of me and says salam, I listen to it and I reply myself. So that is our belief and aqeedah. That the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is alive in his grave, he is listening to what we say. So with full adab, etiquettes, Say, As-salatu was-salamu alayka ya Rasulullah. As-salatu was-salamu alayka ya Habiballah. As-salatu was-salamu alayka ya Rasulullah. As-salatu was-salamu alayka ya khayra khalqillah. Whatever phrase, whatever words we know, with them send salutations and salam upon the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. As-salatu was-salamu alayka ya Sayyid al-Mursaleen. As-salatu was-salamu alayka ya Imam al-Muttaqeen. As-salatu was-salamu alayka ya Shafi' al-Muznibin. As-salatu was-salamu alayka ya Khatam al-Nabiyyin. Whatever formula we know, we should use that. One should not have his book in front of him and read from there. Memorize a few and keep repeating them. And if one cannot memorize a few phrases, then remember one. As-salatu, salutations, was-salamu and peace, alayka, upon you, ya Rasulullah, upon your Messenger of Allah. So that would be sufficient. So you take ya Habibullah, or beloved of Allah, or ya Nabi Allah, or Prophet of Allah, and keep on repeating that. Hazrat Shaykh al-Hadith Maulana Muhammad Zakariya Nawwar Allah Barakatuhu, he would say that in parrot fashion, to read from a book, it is better to just say one thing, the meaning of which we know, just as explained now, and repeat that 100 times. As-salatu was-salamu alayka ya Rasulullah, as-salatu was-salamu alayka ya Rasulullah. Because you would know what you're saying and your heart would be in it, rather than reading something which you're not familiar with and you don't know what you're saying. So one does not need to shout out aloud, just as a normal tone that we talk in. Similarly, we should not disturb those that are around us. So if someone disturbs us, we should not behave in the same manner. We should rather exercise patience. And Sheikh is saying that if those that are working there, those that are responsible for the crowd control, and that if they move us away, then without being disrespectful in any way, we should just move away, rather than showing animosity, hatred, what is he doing to me, why is he moving me around, and arguing. We should just follow the direction that they put us through. And excessively say, As-salatu was-salamu alayka ya Rasulullah, As-salatu was-salamu alayka ya Rasulullah. Now once we are satisfied with the salat and salam that we've sent, then send salam and salat on behalf of those that have requested us. And mentioning their names, that O Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I convey salam on behalf of such and such a person, in any language that we know, Gujarati, Urdu, English. And Sheikh is also requesting myself that whenever you are present there, send salat and salam on behalf as well, on behalf of Sheikh's parents, on behalf of his teachers, on behalf of his mashayikh. And if we don't remember names, then at the end say that O Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, all those that love you, that have requested me to say and convey this salam on their behalf, I am conveying this salam. And once we convey our own salam, convey salam of other people, we make this request that O Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we request you that on the day of judgment, you intercede on our behalf. And because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is listening, he is alive and listening, therefore say the kalima tayyib, ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna muhammadar rasulullah, and make the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam witness to your belief, to your shahada. So first convey one's own salam, thereafter convey salam on behalf of those that have requested, thereafter ask for his intercession, and thereafter say the kalima tayyib, and make the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam a witness of your faith. And if it is possible, then say this, that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, وَلَوْ أَنَّهُمْ إِذْ ذَلَمُوا أَنفُسُهُمْ جَاءُوكَ فَاسْتَغْفِرُوا اللَّهَ وَاسْتَغْفِرَ لَهُمُ الرَّسُولُ لَوَجَدُوا اللَّهَ تَوَّابًا رَحِيمًا. Allah says in the Quran that if the companions, after erring, after committing a sin, were to come to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and in the presence of the Prophet ﷺ, wastaghfirullah, were to repent to Allah, wastaghfir lahumur rasul, and the Prophet was also to ask forgiveness, on behalf of them. لَوَجَدُ اللَّهُ تَوَّابًا رَحِيمًا. They would definitely find Allah forgiving them. So Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we have also come in your presence and I have done a lot of sins and I am asking forgiveness from Allah and I'm also requesting you to ask for repentance on my behalf. So, having our attention towards Allah, say, Astaghfirullah, Astaghfirullah. And thereafter move a step towards the right and you would be in front of the resting place of Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And salam to Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala. There are many words which you can use, but easiest is As-salamu alayka ya khalifat al-muslimin. Salam be upon you, the khalifa of the Muslims. As-salamu alayka ya khalifat al-muslimin. As-salamu alayka ya khalifat al-muslimin. Keep on repeating that. And thereafter say, the Abu Bakr, the khalifa of the Muslims, the khalifa of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, whoever has requested me to send the salam to you, I am conveying the salam. And those names that we remember, mention their names. And thereafter to say that we make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that the sacrifice that you made and the effort that you exerted for the sake of deen, we pray to Allah that Allah gives you the best of reward for that. And thereafter to take another step towards the right, you would be in front of the grave of the Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu and say, As-salamu alayka ya amir al-mu'mineen. Salam be upon you, O amir al-mu'mineen. And thereafter to convey the salam on behalf of those that have requested. And then make this request that we pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Allah grant you the best of reward for the sacrifice that you've made. And thereafter move towards the side and face the Qibla and thereafter raise your hands and make dua. So this is the easiest method of sending salat, durood, salutations and salam upon the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And thereafter say to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that oh Allah, through the medium of this action and deed, and through the medium of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, I am asking, and thereafter ask for all your needs. And when we entered the masjid and performed salatul shukr, and at this time as well, make dua to Allah, that oh Allah, all the companions and all the pious people, whatever dua they made at this point, I am also asking you of all those things. So stay standing on the side, and if you feel tired, then sit down. And in this manner we would have completed our salatu salam. Now the females, as mentioned, there are fixed times for them to come and say salatu salam. So during that time, the garden of paradise is open for them as well as to go to the tomb of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and convey salam. But generally, because of ignorance, when females are given the opportunity to go, they scream and shout out of excitement. So Shaykh is requesting that our females, they should go there with full calmness and composure without shouting and screaming. And wherever you find a space, you go there. And wherever we find a space with complete adab and reverence for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, send salat and salam upon the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Keep in mind the greatness and reverence of the masjid of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And in this in mind, if you were to send salat, no matter how far you are away, the Prophet has some resting place, you would get more virtue and blessing than that woman who had screamed and yelled and shouted and ran towards the tomb of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Similarly, those females that are impure, it is impermissible for them to enter the masjid. So from there, rooms in their hotel, they would basically send salutations and durood upon the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And if possible, she may also basically perform wudu and go towards outside of the masjid where you can see the green dome and make dua from there, send salutations upon the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam from there. Now as long as we are in Madinatul Munawwara, whenever this zeal is in our hearts to go and send salat and salam for the Prophet, we should do so. So obviously, sometimes the time that we may spend may be less than the first time. But keep in mind the timings and which would be most convenient for you to go and send salat and salam. If you went and just said, As-salatu wa-salamu alayka ya Rasulullah, and As-salamu alayka ya Khalifat al-Muslimin, wa As-salamu alayka ya Amir al-Mu'minin, and left, that is also sufficient. And thereafter, so if there is rush, you did this, and then you went somewhere near the masjid, inside the masjid, and kept on sending salat and salam from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you may do so as well. So at least we should go once a day in front of the grave and resting place of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the other blessed place in Masjid al-Nabawi, we should try to go there. Rawdat min Riyadillah, the Garden of Paradise. Sheikh is saying, if you can perform Farz Salah, we should try and do that there. Sheikh is saying, a very close relative, our Sheikh, he went to perform Hajj. And he said to the Sheikh, that I have made this intention that 40 Salah I am going to perform in that portion, which is a portion of Jannah. So Sheikh said, that Allah pardon me. This thought crossed my mind that this person never been for Hajj. And out of zeal, he's just saying this, I'm going to perform 40 salah in that portion, which is the portion of Jannah. So Shaykh is saying, when he went for Hajj, he performed all his salah, the 40 salah, fard with Jamaat in that portion. So if one has that zeal, he definitely can do it. So Shaykh is saying that he asked him that, how is it possible for you to do this? So he said that, the way I did this was that was my priority. So everything else, eating, sleeping, that can basically go out of place. But because this is my priority, I'm going to make sure I'm going to do this. So he basically did that. So one should be particular with regards to trying to perform salah there. Try to perform salah in the first row of the masjid. If that is not possible, then the portion of Jannah. If that is not possible, then the old part of the masjid, that is the most blessed. And thereafter, anyway, in the masjid. Similarly, try to complete one Quran in Madinah to Munawwara. Have a fixed amount of durood and make sure you send that durood upon the Prophet ﷺ. Whilst making your way to the hotel and from the hotel, going to the hotel and coming to the masjid, send durood upon the Prophet ﷺ. You'll realize that you will be able to send 100 times, 500 times durood and route to the masjid and coming back to the hotel room. Engage in excessive dua in repentance to the Prophet ﷺ. There are certain pillars in Masjid al-Nabawi which are blessed. Try and perform salah there. Go to Jannatul Baqi. Imam Malik rahmatullahi would say that 10,000 companions are buried there in Jannatul Baqi. The son of the Prophet ﷺ, Hazrat Ibrahim radiyallahu ta'ala, is buried there. Hazrat Busaid al-Khudri radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. Hazrat Uthman al-Ghani radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's daughters, Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's wives. So great companions, great pious predecessors of prayer buried there. So according to the sunnah method, go there, say salam, and thereafter convey, thereafter pass reward on behalf of them. And thereafter go to Jabal Uhud, Mount Uhud. Because Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Hada jabalun yuhibbuna wa nuhibbuhu," that this is a mountain which we love and it also loves us. So one should go to visit that. And at the foot of the Mount Uhud, 70 companions who were martyred at the Battle of Uhud are buried there. So do salam to them and pass reward to them as well. Hamza radiallahu ta'ala anhu, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's uncle, is buried there. Mus'ab ibn Umayr radiallahu ta'ala anhu is buried there. Visit Masjid al-Qiblatain. So where the companions radiallahu ta'ala anhum were facing Masjid al-Aqsa and performing salah with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And in salah, Allah commanded that now Qibla is towards Masjid al-Haram in Kaaba instead of Masjid al-Aqsa. So in salah they moved and they basically changed the direction. Visit Quba, Masjid al-Quba. Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said with regards to Masjid al-Quba, mentioned in Tirmidhi, that the person who performs wudu in his home and thereafter makes his way to Masjid al-Quba and performs two rakat nafil, then he is given a reward of a accepted umrah. So one should try to go as much as possible, but he should not miss his salah of Masjid al-Nabawi. The Prophet ﷺ practiced what? Was that he was performed Fajr Salah in Masjid al-Nabawi, and then he would walk it to Masjid al-Quba, so that those that can do so, they should do so on a Saturday. And perform Salatul Ishraq in Masjid al-Quba. Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu would say that if Masjid al-Quba were to be removed from Medina to Murara and taken to Yemen, then still I would have walked all the way to Yemen to show that because the Prophet ﷺ walked it, the zeal that he had to walking, no matter how far it would be, I would have still walked it. But at the same time, one has to make sure that his first salah of Masjid al-Nabawi is not omitted. And as long as we remain in Medina to Munawwara, remain with complete etiquettes and adab, respect. A person from a shop in Medina to Munawwara, he bought yogurt, and when he tasted it, he said that the yogurt of Medina to Munawwara is bitter, is sour. So if he said this much, that the yogurt was sour, then there was no problem. But he said the yogurt of Medina to Munawwara is sour. So he saw the Prophet ﷺ in a dream. When the Prophet ﷺ said to him that if you find the yogurt of my city sour, then leave this city and go away. Maulana Abrar al-Haq sahib rahmatullahi alayhi would say, with regards to Makkah al-Mukarramah and Madinah al-Munawwara, he would say something which we should keep in our minds. He would say that there is a king. This king calls you to his palace. So when you would deal with people in that palace, this thought would cross your mind that this person could have also been invited by the king. Or the other thing that would come in mind is that this is a person that belongs to the king's ministry and belongs to the king's group in taking care of things in the palace. So either of the two would these people be. So he would be very careful in ensuring that he does not harm anyone who is also a guest there. Similarly, in ensuring that he does not harm those people that belong to the party of the king in taking care of things. So similarly is the case with being in Makkah al-Mukarramah and Madinah al-Munawwara. That the person that is there, either he is a guest. He is a guest. So he is the guest of Allah, the King of Kings, or the guest of the Prophet ﷺ. So if you harm him, the king would become displeased. Or he is part of the king's kingdom. So if you harm him, the king again is going to become displeased. Similarly, some pious predecessors, they say that you should buy some things from Medina to Munawwara with this intention that if I buy this from here, it would assist a dweller of the city of the Prophet ﷺ. So you would get reward for that. So with this routine, spend our time and safeguard our time. And in Makkah al-Mukarramah, Madinah al-Munawwara, keep in mind three things. First of all, not waste a single second. Not a single second should be wasted. Number two, not a single thing should be done that displeases Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And thirdly, in Makkah al-Mukarramah, Madinah al-Munawwara, take some time out and in the Masjid al-Nabawi, Masjid al-Haram, 5 minutes, 10 minutes, on one's own, in solitude, contemplate about one's life, that what did Allah create me for, and how much of my life have I spent, and how much life do I have left, and what progress have I made in my life. So when you would contemplate, you would come to this conclusion, that I've wasted my life, I haven't done the things that I'm supposed to be doing. So when this reality would be created, you would then fall into sajda, pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Allah, you created me and you created me for an objective and I have not been successful in that objective. So now I am making this firm resolution to change. So Allah, you help me now and make it easy for me and keep me on the straight path. That Allah, you have brought me all this way, so make me go away with something now. And then the final salam that one one would say to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that prior to the last salam, a person should perform 2 rakat, nafil salah, thanking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, repenting to Allah, and asking Allah for acceptance. So we would make our way again towards the front and send salam to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the manner that was explained previously. And then after doing salam to Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Hazrat Abu Bakr Umar face the Qibla and make this dua that, oh Allah, do not make this my last journey to the city of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam or to Makkatul Mukarramah. And oh Allah, I did not spend my time here the way that I should have. I did not value my time here. And oh Allah, the being who is mercy for the entire universe, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, through his medium, I am asking you that you keep me steadfast upon deen, you bring me time and again here. And pray that Allah gives us death in these blessed lands. One should make this dua, Allahumma rzuqni shahadatan fi sabili, fi sabilik, waj'al mawti fi baladi habibika Muhammadin sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And with this grief and sadness, we would return back home, tears flowing from the eyes. Sheikh is mentioning that his Sheikh, Hazrat Haji Farooq Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh, he would mention two things. That when you're going, you should go with this yearning and zeal of wanting to go. With which faith am I going to meet the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? So this fear should be overpowering you. And when you return, you should return with this feeling that if only I had more time to stay here, I don't want to return back. So go with fear and return with this yearning that if only I had a lot of time to spend here. And in the books we find that in the last salam, we should say, Al-Wida Ya Rasulullah, Al-Wida Ya Rasulullah. That I'm bidding you farewell, O Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, I'm bidding you farewell. Hazrat Haji Farooq Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi, he would mention that one should not say Al-Wida, that I'm bidding you farewell. You should say Al-Wisal. Wisal means to join and meet someone. So Al-Wida means to bid farewell and leave someone. And Al-Wisal means that I am meeting you and I am joining up with you. And what should the intention be by saying this? The intention should be that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you are the mercy of the entire universe. So you make me, you attach me to yourself for life now. That wherever I may be, I be attached to your religion, I be attached to your teachings, I be attached to your good conduct. Now either you would go to Makkatul Mukarramah to perform Hajj, or you would go back home. So we should go returning with istighfar, thanking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the good thoughts that cross our minds. We should make dua for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for all these goodnesses, and keep that zeal and enthusiasm with us that whatever we did there, we are going to continue with that and change our entire life, so that it could be seen that we have been granted Hajj Mabrur and accepted Hajj. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept all of our Hajj, our Ziyarah, whatever faults there may have been or errors in saying things, explaining things. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive whatever was right and correct, that was from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and whatever was incorrect, that was from shaitan and from our own nafs. May Allah grant everyone an accepted Hajj, an accepted ziyarah, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala the blessings of these blessed places. May He make everyone benefit from these blessings, and may Allah safeguard us from ungratefulness, from disobedience, from those things that would displease Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah safeguard us from wasting our time there. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make this Hajj, make this ziyarah a means of turning our lives and changing our lives. Once again, Shaykh requests for himself, I would request for myself, for Shaykh's parents, for my parents, for our families, for relatives, for everyone associated to us, to the Islamic Dawah Academy, to the Shaykh, to make dua for everyone, for the entire ummah, make dua. If possible, make umrah on our behalf. If one can do tawaf at the time of salatu salam, send salat and salam on our behalf and make excessive dua, especially for the entire ummah. That Allah Ta'ala grant the entire ummah success. And whoever is in any problem in the entire world, Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala remove that problem and difficulty. وآخر الدعوان الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله تعالى على خير خلق محمد وآله وصحبه أجمعين. Dua will take place now, so brothers should participate in the final dua. Sheikh is just explaining before the dua that every week we have a program on Friday. So different topics of deen are discussed. So brothers were given the opportunity to come for the 5 days and learn about Hajj. So why don't we come throughout the year and benefit from the programs that are imparted then? After Isha
Salaam. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم لك الحمد حمدا دائما مع دوامك ولك الحمد حمدا خالدا مع خلودك ولك الحمد حمدا لا منتهى له دون مشيتك ولك الحمد حمدا لا يريد به قائله إلا رضاك اللهم لك الحمد كالذي تقول وخيرا مما نقول اللهم لا نحصي ثناء عليك أنت كما أثنيت على نفسك اللهم إنا نستعينك ونستغفرك ونستهديك ونؤمن بك ونتوكل عليك ونثني عليك الخير كله ونشكرك ولا نكفرك ونخلع ونترك من يفجرك اللهم إياك نعبد ولك نصلي ونسجد وإليك نسعى ونحفد ونرجو رحمتك ونخشى عذابك إن عذابك بالكفار ملحق اللهم اهد بفضلك في من هديت وعافنا في من عافيت وتولنا في من توليت وبارك لنا فيما أعطيت وقنا واصرف عنا شر ما قضيت فإنك تقضي ولا يقضى عليك إنه لا يذل من واليت ولا يعز من عاديت تبارك ربنا وتعاليت نستغفرك اللهم ونتوب إليك وصلى الله على النبي الأمي الكريم ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة آخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار ربنا اغفر لنا وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم اللهم أحسن عاقبتنا في الأمور كلها وأجرنا من خزي الدنيا وعذاب الآخرة اللهم إنك عفو تحب العفو فاعف عنا يا مصرف القلوب صرف قلوبنا على طاعتك يا مقلب القلوب ثبت قلوبنا على دينك اللهم احفظنا من كل بلاء الدنيا وعذاب الآخرة اللهم إنا نسألك الهدى والتقى والعفاف والغنى اللهم حاسبنا حسابا يسيرا اللهم آت نفوسنا تقواها وزكها أنت خير من زكاها أنت وليها ومولاها اللهم أصلح لنا شأننا كله ولا تكلنا إلى أنفسنا طرفة عين ولا تنزع منا صالح ما أعطيتنا اللهم وفقنا لما تحب وترضى اللهم وفقنا لما تحب وترضى. اللهم وفقنا لما تحب وترضى. اللهم اجعل حبك أحب الأشياء إلينا. اللهم اجعل حبك أحب إلينا من أنفسنا ومن أهلنا ومن الماء البارد. اللهم اجعل وساوس قلوبنا خشيتك وذكرك. اللهم افتح أقفال قلوبنا بذكرك. اللهم اجعلنا من الذاكرين الله كثيرا والذاكرات. اللهم لا تؤمنا مكرك ولا تنسنا ذكرك ولا تهتك عنا سترك ولا تجعلنا من الغافلين. اللهم اجعلنا من الذين إذا أحسنوا استبشروا وإذا أساءوا استغفروا. اللهم واقية كواقية الوليد. اللهم إنا نجعلك في نحورهم ونعوذ بك اللهم من شرورهم. اللهم اصرف عنا كيدهم وشرهم ومكرهم بما شئت وكيف شئت. اللهم اكفناهم بما شئت وكيف شئت. اللهم اهد الناس جميعا. اللهم اهد الناس جميعا. اللهم اهد الناس جميعا. اللهم اهدنا واجعلنا سببا لمن اهتدى. اللهم استر عوراتنا وآمن روعاتنا واحفظنا من بين أيدينا ومن خلفنا وعن أيماننا وعن شمائلنا ومن فوقنا ونعوذ بأذمتك أن نغتال من تحتنا. اللهم اهدنا الصراط المستقيم وأخرجنا من الظلمات إلى النور. اللهم خير لنا واختر لنا ويسر لنا أمورنا وألهمنا مراشد أمورنا وأعذنا من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. يا رب كل شيء بقدرتك على كل شيء واغفر لنا كل شيء حتى لا تسألنا عن شيء. اللهم من أحييته منا فأحيه على الإسلام ومن توفيته منا فتوفه على الإيمان. اللهم اشف مرضانا وارحم موتانا. اللهم انا نعوذ بك من الجنون والجذام والبرص وسيء الاسقام. اللهم انا نعوذ بك من زوال نعمتك وتحول عافيتك وفجاءة نقمتك وجميع سخطك. اللهم انا نعوذ بك من جهد البلاء ودرك الشقاء وسوء القضاء وشماتة الاعداء. اللهم اغفر لنا ما قدمنا وما اخرنا وما أسررنا وما أعلنا وما أنت عالم به منا. أنت المقدم وأنت المؤخر لا إله إلا أنت. اللهم حبب إلينا الإيمان وزينه في قلوبنا وكره إلينا الكفر والفسوق والعصيان. اللهم اجعلنا من الراشدين. اللهم اجعلنا من التوابين واجعلنا من المتطهرين واجعلنا من عبادك الصالحين المخلصين المخلصين المحبوبين المتقين. اللهم اجعلنا من أوليائك المقربين. اللهم اجعلنا من أوليائك المحبوبين. اللهم اجعلنا من أوليائك الصديقين. اللهم اجعلنا من أوليائك المتقين. يا ارحم الراحمين رحم کا معاملہ فرما. يا اكرم الاكرمين کرم کا معاملہ فرما. يسر و سہولت کا معاملہ فرما. عفو عافیت کا معاملہ فرما. فضل و عنایت کا معاملہ فرما. حفظ و امان کا معاملہ فرما. ہم سب کے گناہوں کو معاف فرما. ہماری لغزشوں سے درگزر فرما. الہ العالمین ہماری سیئات کو معاف فرما. الہ العالمین ہم بڑے گنہگار ہیں. الہ العالمین ہم سے بڑا مجرم شاید ہی کوئی ہوگا. یا رب الراحمین ہم اقراری مجرم ہیں. الہ العالمین ہم نے بہت گناہ کیے ہیں. الہ العالمین تیرے حقوق کو پامال کیا ہے. الہ العالمین تیرے محبوب پیغمبر صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم کے حقوق کو پامال کیا ہے. الہ العالمین تیرے بندوں کے حقوق کو پامال کیا ہے. تیرے دین کے حقوق کو پامال کیا ہے. یا رب الراحمین تو ہمیں معاف فرما دے. ہمیں معاف فرما دے. ہمیں معاف فرما دے. ہماری بخشش فرما دے. ہم ہماری بخشش فرما دے. الہ العالمین جب سے ہم بالغ ہوئے ہیں اس وقت سے اب تک سر سے پیر تک الہ العالمین صبح سے شام شام سے صبح ہر ہر لمحہ ہم خطا ہی خطا ہے. مگر یہ اللہ تو رحیم ہے رحمان ہے کریم ہے غفور ہے غفار ہے. الہ العالمین ہم خطا ہی خطا ہے تو عطا ہی عطا ہے. الہ العالمین نظر کرم فرما دے. نظر کرم فرما دے.
نظرِ کرم فرما دے العالمین نظرِ کرم فرما دے العالمین اپنی رحمت کی بارش برسا دے العالمین ہمارے لیے تو تیری رحمت کی میں سے ایک قطرہ ہی کافی ہے العالمین ایک قطرے کو برسا دے العالمین مغفرت فرما دے معاف فرما دے العالمین سچی پکی توبہ نصیب کر دے العالمین تیری مرضیات پر زندگی گزارنے کی توفیق عطا فرما تیری نامرضیات سے حفاظت فرما العالمین تجھے ناراض کرنے والے ہر کام سے ہماری حفاظت فرما تجھے راضی کرنے والے ہر کام کی توفیق عطا فرما العالمین تو معاف فرما دے معاف فرما دے معاف فرما دے العالمین ہر ہر لمحہ تیری مرضیات پر چلا دے جب تک تو زندہ رکھے اسلام پر زندہ رکھ جب موت آئے ایمان پر موت عطا فرما اس نے خاتمہ نصیب فرما یا رب الرحیمین تیری محبت عطا فرما العالمین تیری محبت عطا فرما العالمین تیری محبت عطا فرما تیری محبوب پیغمبر صلی اللہ علیہ وآلہ وسلم کا عشق عطا فرما العالمین دلوں کو پاک فرما رذائل کو دور فرما خسائل سے آراستہ فرما العالمین ہمارا دل بدل دے 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 العالمین خسائل سے آراستہ فرما رذائل سے پاک فرما العالمین العالمین اپنی محبت عطا فرما العالمین اس غفلت کو دور فرما غفلت کو دور فرما میرا غفلت میں ڈوبا دل بدل دے خدایا فضل فرما دل بدل دے ہوا وہ ہرس والا دل بدل دے بدل دے دل کی دنیا دل بدل دے گنہ گاری میں کب تک عمر کاٹوں بدل دے میرا رستہ دل بدل دے العالمین رستہ بدل دے العالمین جہنم کے راستے سے بچا لے جنت کے راستے میں ڈال دے ہر قربان اپنی ساری خوشیاں تو اپنا غم عطا کر دل بدل دے العالمین اپنی محبت کا غم عطا کر العالمین اپنی یاد کا غم عطا کر العالمین اپنی یاد سے ہماری زبانوں کو تر و تازہ کر دے العالمین ہمارے دلوں کو اپنی یاد سے منور فرما دے اے ارحم الراحمین تو فضل فرما دے الہ العالمین فضل فرما دے الہ العالمین فضل فرما دے اور دل کی حالت کو بدل دے الہ العالمین دل کی حالت کو بدل دے الہ العالمین دل کی حالت کو بدل دے الہ العالمین دل کی حالت کو بدل دے اے ارحم الراحمین فضل کا معاملہ فرما عفو عافیت کا معاملہ فرما اے ارحم الراحمین آخرت کی ساری منزلیں آسان فرما دے اے ارحم الراحمین جنت الفردوس کے دائمی فیصلے فرما دے جہنم سے نجات کے دائمی فیصلے فرما دے تیری محبت تیری ولایت تیرے قرب کے دائمی فیصلے فرما دے اصلاح کے دائمی فیصلے فرما دے تزکیہ کے دائمی فیصلے فرما دے علم و عمل کے دائمی فیصلے فرما دے الہ العالمین جہالت سے نکال دے الہ العالمین کبر سے حسد سے ہمیں نجات عطا فرما الہ العالمین دل کی تمام برائیوں سے ہمیں نجات عطا فرما اے ارحم الراحمین اے ارحم الراحمین اپنا قرب خاص نصیب فرما دے اے ارحم الراحمین اس سال تیرے بندوں میں سے جتنے بندوں کو حج بیت اللہ کی توفیق مل رہی ہے الہ العالمین سب کو بے انتہا قبول فرما الہ العالمین سب کے لیے آسان فرما الہ العالمین سفر کو مقبول بنا الہ العالمین حرمین شریفین کے آداب کی رہنمائی فرما الہ العالمین انوار و برکات کا نزول فرما الہ العالمین خوب عبادت کرنے کی توفیق عطا فرما تیری مرضی کے مطابق ایک ایک لمحہ گزارنے کی توفیق عطا فرما الہ العالمین حج کے زیارت کے اور الہ العالمین عمرے کے عبادتوں کے الہ العالمین جتنے اعمال ہیں جتنے ارکان ہیں جتنے آداب ہیں وہ سب ان بندوں کو سکھا دے الہ العالمین تو حج کو جیسا دیکھنا چاہتا ہے ویسے حج کی ان سب کو توفیق عطا فرما دے الہ العالمین زیارت کے آداب ان کو سکھا دے الہ العالمین بے ادبی سے بچا لے ناشکری اور ناقدری سے بچا لے اے رب الرحیمین لرستا ہوا یہاں سے لے جا الہ العالمین ترستا ہوا لے آ الہ العالمین ان سب بندوں کی زندگیوں کے بدلنے کا ذریعہ ہری بنادے الا نبی میں سے ہر ایک کو مقام صدیقیت عطا فرما دے مقام ولایت عطا فرما دے الا نبی مقام محبوبیت عطا فرما دے الا نبی ان کی عبادتوں کی برکتوں سے ان کے حج کی برکت سے ان کی زیارت کی برکت سے الا نبی ان کی دعاؤں کی برکت سے یہ ساری نعمتیں ہمیں بھی عطا فرما ہمارے متعلقین کو عطا فرما ہمارے گھر والوں کو ماں باپ کو اساتذہ کو مشائخ کو عطا فرما پوری امت کو عطا فرما یا رب الرحمین ان کی خوب مدد فرما ان کی خوب مدد فرما العالمین ان سب کے دلوں سے دنیا کی محبت کو نکال دے العالمین ان کو تیری اپنی محبت عطا فرما العالمین ان کو تیری اپنی محبت عطا فرما دے تیرا عاشق بنا دے ہم سب کو تیرا عاشق بنا دے تیرے عشق کے لیے تیری محبت کے لیے جن جن اسباب کی ضرورت ہے سب کے لیے انتظام فرما دے یا رب الرحمین ان کو ہر ان کی ہر مرحلے پر دستگیری فرما العالمین ہر کام میں ان کی مدد فرما ہر کام میں ان کی رہنمائی فرما یا رحم الراحمین ان کی دعاؤں میں جتنے حجات جا رہے ہیں ان کی دعاؤں میں الہ العالمین ان کی عبادتوں میں ان کی صلاۃ و سلام میں الہ العالمین برکت پیدا فرما اور الہ العالمین ہمارے لیے بھی اس میں جگہ بنا دے یا رب الراحمین یا رب الراحمین پوری دنیا میں تیرے جتنے بندے سستی اور غفلت کی وجہ سے حج فرض ہونے کے باوجود بھی جانے کے لیے تیار نہیں ہو رہے انہیں جلد از جلد توفیق عطا فرما بغیر حج کیے ہوئے الہ العالمین اپنے پاس مت بلانا الہ العالمین نے جلد از جلد حج کی توفیق عطا فرما الہ العالمین جو حج کر چکے ہیں انہیں بار بار اس سعادت سے سرفراز فرما اے ارحم الراحمین اے ارحم الراحمین تیرے وہ بندے جن کو یہ خیال ہی نہیں آ رہا ہے الہ العالمین ان کے دلوں میں رویت شریفیت کو جانے کی محبت پیدا فرما دے الہ العالمین تڑپ اور بے قراری پیدا فرما دے الہ العالمین تیرے وہ بہت سارے بندے الہ العالمین جو جانا چاہتے ہیں مگر ان کے پاس وسائل نہیں ہے الہ العالمین ہم سب کو وسائل عطا فرما الہ العالمین تیرے بندوں میں سے ہر بندے کو وہاں کی حاضری نصیب فرما یا رب الراحمین یا رب الراحمین یا رب الراحمین ہم جہاں کہیں بھی رہیں الہ العالمین رویت شریفیت کی محبت کے ساتھ رہے الہ العالمین تیری اطاعت کے ساتھ رہے تیرے محبوب پیغمبر صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم کی اتباع کے ساتھ رہے الہ العالمین قرآن سے وابستگی عطا فرما احادیث سے وابستگی عطا فرما شریعت سے فقہ سے وابستگی عطا فرما یا ارحم الراحمین جو کچھ مانگا وہ بھی عطا فرما جو نہیں مانگا مانگنا چاہیے تھا وہ بھی عطا فرما الہ العالمین حج کا یہ سلسلہ جو چل رہا ہے اس میں برکت پیدا فرما الہ العالمین قیامت کی صبح تک اسے جاری اور ساری فرما الہ العالمین حج کے لیے حجاج کے لیے اسلامک دعوی اکیڈمی کی طرف سے جو خدمتیں ہو رہی ہیں الہ العالمین انہیں قیامت تک جاری اور ساری فرما اس میں الہ العالمین جو جو حضرات حصہ لے رہے ہیں وہ جس لائن سے بھی ہو الہ العالمین سب کو حرمین شریفین کی موت عطا فرما یا رحم الراحمین اسلامک دعوی اکیڈمی اور اسلامک دعوی اکیڈمی کے تحت چلنے والے جتنے ادارے ہیں اور اس کے تحت کام کرنے والے جتنے خدام دین ہیں الہ العالمین ان سب میں خوب برکت پیدا فرما سب منصوبوں میں کامیابی عطا فرما الہ العالمین اخلاص کے ساتھ کام کرنے کی توفیق عطا فرما اتفاق اتحاد محبت کی فضاؤں میں برکت پیدا فرما یا رحم الراحمین تیری رضا کے مطابق کام کرنے کی توفیق عطا فرما اس ادارے کو پورے عالم میں تیرے محبوب دین کے غلبے کے لیے قبول فرما تیرے محبوب پیغمبر صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم کی تعلیمات کے پھیلنے کے لیے قبول فرما یا رحم الراحمین اسلامک دعوی اکیڈمی میں کام کرنے والے جتنے حضرات ہیں الہ العالمین ان کی عمروں میں ان کے اخلاق میں ان کی روحانیت میں ان کے علم میں ان کے عمل میں ان کی محبتوں میں ان کی صحتوں میں الہ العالمین خوب برکت پیدا فرما الہ العالمین اس ادارے کی فعال ہونے کے لیے اور خدمت کو کما حق ہو انجام دینے کے لیے مادی روحانی جسمانی جن جن اسباب کی ضرورت ہے سب کا غیب سے انتظام فرما یا رحم الراحمین ہماری کوتاہی ہماری کمزوری ہماری سستی اور الہ العالمین ہماری بے ادبی اور ہماری ناشکری اور ناقدری کی وجہ سے اس ادارے کے ذریعے جو خدمت ہم سے تو لے رہا ہے اس سے الہ العالمین محروم نہ فرما الہ العالمین محرومی سے بچا لے الہ العالمین محرومی سے بچا لے الہ العالمین محرومی سے بچا لے الہ العالمین پوری دنیا میں جتنے ادارے جتنے مدارس جتنی مساجد جتنے خانقاہیں جتنے مشائخ اور جتنی جماعتیں جتنی جمعیتیں جتنے افراد الہ العالمین
جتنے دن کے کام ہو رہے ہیں سب کو قبول فرما، سب کو ایک دوسرے کا معاون بنا، الہ العالمین سب کو شرف قبولیت سے مالا مال فرما، الہ العالمین جو مانگا وہ بھی عطا فرما، جو نہیں مانگا وہ بھی عطا فرما، جو مانگنا چاہیے تھا وہ بھی عطا فرما، الہ العالمین ان مجالس کو قبول فرما لے، آخرت میں نجات کا ذریعہ بنا دے، الہ العالمین ہم سب کو علم کی طلب عطا فرما، علم پر عمل کی توفیق عطا فرما، دوسروں تک پہنچانے کی توفیق عطا فرما، الہ العالمین آپ کے محبوب پیغمبر صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم کی مانگی ہوئی ہر خیر عطا فرما، جن شرور سے آپ صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم نے پناہ مانگی تھی ان سے پناہ عطا فرما، الہ العالمین آج تک جتنے حجاج نے اور جتنے معتمرین نے حرمین شریفین میں اور اس مبارک سفر میں جو جو اچھی اچھی دعائیں مانگی ہیں وہ ساری الہ العالمین ہمیں عطا فرمائے، جن جن بھائیوں نے بہنوں نے ہمیں دعاؤں کے لیے کہا ہے لکھا ہے، جو ہم سے متوقع ہیں، جن کا ہم پر حق بنتا ہے، جو ہم سے تعلق رکھتے ہیں، محبت رکھتے ہیں، خصوصاً ہمارے ماں باپ، ہمارے اساتذہ، ہمارے مشائخ، ہمارے دوست احباب، حاضرین مجلس، شرکاء مجلس، سبھی کے تمام جائز نیک مقاصد کو پورا فرمائے، ربنا آتنا فی الدنیا حسنۃ وفی الآخرۃ حسنۃ وقنا عذاب النار، ربنا تقبل منا انک انت السمیع العلیم، وتب علینا انک انت التواب الرحیم، رب اغفر وارحم وانت خیر الراحمین، سبحان ربک رب العزۃ عما یصفون، وسلام علی المرسلین، والحمد للہ رب العالمین، وآخر دعوانا ان الحمد للہ رب العالمین برحمتک یا Next Sunday, not the day after tomorrow, but the following Sunday, inshallah, another Hajj program will take place on a Sunday. Please look at the notice board before you leave, or log on to the Islamic Dawah Academy website. It will be a summary of what was discussed here, and it will be a one-day course in two sessions, inshallah, from Zohar till Asar. Try to attend, pass on the message to other brothers as well, and it has been designed in such a way that it will take place on a Sunday, and it's a very short course, so people from outside Leicester may also participate. So try to pass on the message to as many Muslim brothers and sisters. And until Hajj, the Islamic Dawah Academy is at your service. You may come in Isha and look for the Muftis on a daily basis. They will be at your service, inshallah. You can contact the Islamic Dawah Academy for guidance, and we will try our utmost to guide you, inshallah. But please, ریمبر دی اسلامک دعوی اکیڈمی انجینئر پریئر، جزاکم اللہ خیر. بھائی جو ذکر کرنے والے لوگ ہیں وہ اپنے ذکر میں مشغول ہو جائیں، اور جو گھر جانا چاہتے ہیں وہ آداب کا خیال رکھیں.